Praise the Lord. All right, let's go to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. I know there are some people that just go to church on Christmas. I know that's not like you. And they hear the same two messages every year. One on the birth of Christ and one on the resurrection of Christ. But this morning, I do want to look at Luke chapter 2 and the first seven verses that is known as the Christmas story. And it's often repeated and so many times read in a rote type of way, in a boring way, and seemingly overdone without any real consideration from what went on here. And I do want to read it. This will be a different message this morning than you probably think. So, but I want to look at it together because, you know, it doesn't matter what Sunday it is. It's all about Jesus Christ. And this revelation into not only the Lord Jesus, but also the situation in which He was born, and I think could help our hearts today. And I want to look at it together. Luke chapter 2, the Bible says in verse 1, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn." God will bless the reading of His Word. Let's pray. Father, we sure would like for You to enlarge our hearts, that we would love You more today, and that Jesus would have the preeminence in us as He deserves to have and as we so need Him to have. And Lord, as we make this trip of life, we know all of us are on a journey. Some of us are farther along than others. Some have just started the journey of life. Some are getting nigh close to ending it. But Lord, we know we make one trip in this life. And I pray that You would help our hearts today as we make this trip of life to have You centered in our thinking, and that You would help our hearts even as we look this morning at this trip that was made so very long ago by Joseph and Mary, this trip that ended up in us receiving a Christ child in a manger. Help us to consider their trip and their lives as we consider our own. And again, may they be centered on Your precious Son. We'll thank You for the help that You give us today. Father, if there's somebody here that came to church today, maybe just out of habit or because it's Christmas, and they don't know You as their Savior, I pray You would help them to see themselves guilty before God, and that they would come to the One that can truly set them free from their sin. And Lord, we pray for each of us who are saved that You would truly, Lord, have our attention and our hearts today. We'll praise You for that in Jesus' name. Amen. If I had to give one word about this text from verse 1 to 7 of Luke chapter 2, about this journey that Joseph and Mary made, I would use the word difficult. Everything about it speaks of difficulty to me. As you go verse by verse through it, it's just one difficult scenario after the other. You know, the Bible says as Christians on our journey of life, we're going to meet with some hardness as well. And the Word of God tells us that we have to endure hardness as good soldiers of Jesus Christ. There's going to be some difficulties in our life. You can't escape difficulty in your life. You can't do it. There's going to be difficulties if you don't do the will of God. There's going to be difficulties if you follow the will of God. But life is full of difficulties, so you might as well just buckle up for that. We've had a lot of difficulties even in our own church family in the last few days and few weeks and months. But life is filled with difficulties, and the pattern that we give of Mary and Joseph, how they responded to those difficulties, that Christ would be shown and that Christ would be brought forth, should be the same attitude that I have through the difficulties of my life. I want Christ to come forth. I want Jesus to come forth from my life. And the benefits that we enjoy this morning, the benefits of the gifts of God we talked about Wednesday night, the benefits of the blessings of God, the benefits of the Lord Jesus Christ that was born for us, those benefits were all born out of difficulty. They were all born out of problems. It was difficult for Mary. It was difficult for Joseph. It was difficult for Jesus. And yet they were willing to go through the difficulties, that the benefit and the blessings might come on others. Mary may not have known everything that she encompassed when she said, "Be it unto me according to thy word," or "Be it behold the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." She may not have known all that was encompassed with that when she said, "Lord, just whatever you want." But there was a difficult journey to go, and she was willing to do that. And because she was willing to do that, what blessing came forth from her life? And what benefit has come to me? What benefit has come to you and your family? Because she was willing. Thank God that Jesus was willing. Amen. Jesus was willing to come from a place of comfort and serenity and beauty and glory and peace and come down to this world of confusion and spot and stain and sin. He was willing to come and bear that difficulty. But this morning, as we look at their difficulty, I think two things can happen. It should help me. It should help us to have some perspective about our lives. Because whether or not we're born again, or whether you're just here this morning and you don't know Christ as Savior, the perspective is that life is filled with problems and difficulties. And you can't escape them. You have to go through them. And if our attitude is as these two that traveled this road, our road will be traveled, I think, a lot better. So may we get some perspective and may we be willing. Lord, whatever difficulty you want me to go through, if Jesus Christ will come forth at the end, if Jesus Christ will be ministered at the end, if someone else would be benefited, whatever journey that I've got to travel, help me, Lord. Help me learn it. Let's look at these difficulties this morning, one at a time, shall we? First, he says, I point your mind to verse 4. He said, Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea into the city of David, which is called Bethlehem. Just a little fact here. The difficulty of the length of their journey. I traveled by car from Nazareth down to Jerusalem toward Bethlehem many years ago. And it wasn't a very good distance by car. And I don't really know, nobody knows what real route they took. But whatever route they took, it had to be between 80 and 100 miles. Now, in our terminology, that's not a very difficult length of journey, you know, going from here to Birmingham, you know. That's not a very difficult thing. But, you know, without a plane and without a train and without a car and without a team of horses or a carriage, it was a long trip to make for those days. A long trip. You go 80 to 100 miles and you've got to go on foot. I know, the picture show her on the donkey and Joe, and it could have been that way. I don't know how they traveled. Nobody knows how they traveled. But I know they didn't go in a car. Amen. And I also know something else about it. I know they were poor people. How do you know they're poor people? Well, for a lot of reasons, but in this same chapter you can see them. Drop down to verse 22, Luke 2:22. And when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, They brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now, hold your finger there and go to Leviticus chapter 12. Now, they brought two turtle doves, a pair of turtle or two young pigeons. That's what she brought. That's what they brought. And they brought it as a sin offering according to the law of Moses in Leviticus 12, which, by the way, shows you and proves to you that Mary knew that she was a sinner. Mary is not a virgin to be worshipped or someone on equal plane with God. Mary knew better than that. Her soul magnified the Lord. And she came to the temple here with a sacrifice for her sin. That's the context. That's why she brought these two birds. But she also brought these two birds for another reason. She brought these two birds because she didn't have the other thing that the law required her to bring. Leviticus chapter 12. The Bible says in verse 6, and when the days of her purifying are fulfilled, that's exactly what we read in Luke 2. For a son or for a daughter, she shall bring a what? She didn't bring a lamb. She brought two birds. Why? She shall bring a lamb of the first year for a burnt offering. You say, well, Jesus was a lamb. I understand that, but keep reading. And a young pigeon or a turtle dove for a sin offering under the door of the tabernacle of the congregation of the priest, who shall offer it before the Lord and make an atonement for her. See, she's a sinner. And she shall be cleansed from the issue of her blood. This is the law for her that hath borne a male or female. Now look at verse 8. And if she be not able to bring a lamb. You see that? Then she shall bring two what? Two turtles or two young pigeons. Mary and Joseph were not able to bring a lamb. They brought that which the poor people brought. If you didn't have a lamb, God said, okay, you can still get you two pigeons. But the thing is, come and bring that sacrifice and bring that offering. If you don't, they did not have the provision. They did not have the sustenance. They did not have the ability to bring what others brought into the temple. You say, why do you point that out? Well, as being poor people, you know what poor people did in those days? They walked everywhere they went. That probably would help us a little more. Jesus walked everywhere he went. Everywhere. Well, we'd die if we had to do that. Poor people walked. Now, I don't know if maybe he borrowed a mule. Maybe he got a horse. I don't know if he got a horse. I don't know anything about that. But I'm just saying, it looks, and the Bible doesn't give us any indication, this trip that they made as poor people was a long one to make, even if he was able to have obtained a mule or a donkey, which I really doubt very seriously. If you can't even strap up enough money to have a lamb to bring to the temple of God, you probably are not going to be able to find or have the means for larger transportation. Now, can you imagine walking 80 to 100 miles? You know what that's called? That's called difficult for a healthy person. That's difficult. And you know what? These people responded. They're not discouraged by difficulty. They just keep walking. They just keep going. And how do you know that? Look at verse 41 of Luke 2 as well. Verse 41, Luke chapter 2, the Bible says, now his parents, we're still talking about Joseph, Mary, and Jesus, all right? Luke 2, 41, now his parents went, look at it now, went to Jerusalem, what does it say? Every year at the feast of the Passover. They were so faithful. Now, you said Jerusalem, this was Bethlehem. Bethlehem and Jerusalem are only about 10 miles apart. Bethlehem is a little more south of Jerusalem, but not about 10 miles. 8 to 10 miles. Now listen to what the Bible's showing us. Every single year, they walked to Jerusalem to worship God. You think that was difficult? Especially with once being great with child, but then after the little kid's born, right? And we have no indication of any excuse. You have people in America today that know better and should be in church, and they find an excuse and they can't go across the road to go to church. They find an excuse. They can't even grab their Bible once a week and read it. Because of the difficulties of life. Are you listening to me? The difficulties of life, if you're not careful, you know what it'll cause you to do? It'll cause you to make an excuse not to be where God wants you to be and go where God wants you to go and do what God wants you to do. And all of us have difficulties. And I'm telling you, this couple here, God looked down and He found a couple that He knew would not be discouraged about difficulties, and year after year, and it doesn't matter how hard it was, and it doesn't matter how difficult it was, they're going to do by the grace of God and with the help of God to the best of their ability, they are going to continue to do the will of God and put the Lord first, even if it's a difficult situation. And the wonderful, beautiful, peaceful, comfortable Christmas story was a story on a dirt road and a dusty lane and tired feet and a hard journey of life, a long trip. I say the difficulty of the length of their journey and their willingness to continue on so that Christ would come forth is a testimony to us today. And then with that, just the timing, the length of it was long enough. But the Bible says down there, He says in verse 5, to be taxed with Mary's espoused wife, being great with child. What doctor would recommend a pregnant lady take a 100-mile journey on foot, or the donkey may be worse? Right? You know, we're not careful. We'll get a doctor's excuse for everything. If anybody ever had an excuse not to go to Bethlehem, if we're not careful, we'll have an excuse to do not to do everything God wants us to do. Because it's difficult. And I know it's difficult. I can't imagine, probably if I was there and I would have been their pastor, I'd have said, you know, y'all can just stay in Nazareth. God's everywhere anyway. But you know what? It was God's will for them to go. You know why? Because that little baby wasn't supposed to be born in Nazareth. That little baby wasn't supposed to be born in Nazareth. The Bible had already prophesied in Micah chapter 5 verse 2. And now Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though our little mother, out of you is going to come forth this ruler, this king for Israel, the Redeemer, the Savior, the King. And He's got to come out of Bethlehem. Well, Lord, I know that. But look, my wife, look how big she is. Right? Oh, nice little Christmas story. I bet it was different going down the road. Wasn't any Christmas cards. Wasn't any carols or fruitcake. Wasn't any mistletoe or trees, I'll tell you that. It was just difficulty. Well, honey, we got to keep going. Are you hurting? Yes. But let's keep going. God wants us to go. We've got to be there. Listen, convenience is not Christianity. I see something else here. Look at verse 1 again. It came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be what? Taxed. 2. And this what? Taxing. Verse 3. And all went to be what? Tax. Verse 5, to be what? Four times. You know, only eight times in your Bible is the, if my math is right, only eight times in your Bible does the word tax in any form occur. Eight times, and half of those are right here in this chapter. And this tax, who's telling them to pay this tax? Caesar, right? A wicked ruler that thinks he's God. How'd you like to give your money to a guy like that? Well, maybe we do, but... By the way, taxes and tribute is a recognition of who... Well, it's given to a king. It's given to who's in charge, who's in control. And you know what Joseph and Mary... You know what Joseph could have said? I tell you what. That Caesar down there, I don't agree with what he's doing. I mean, we believe in God. He doesn't. I mean, have you seen all the gods that are in Rome? We're not going to pay for any more heathen statues or temples. We're not going to give any taxes. Right? Well, it's getting a little quiet. I don't know why it is. I'm just preaching the Bible. And I'm sure that Joseph didn't agree with the Roman Empire and the wickedness of it and the ungodliness of it. But you know what? And it was probably more difficult for him to pay a tax than it would have been for most people of the day. He's got this newly engagement, this espousal. He got a baby on the way. He's already a poor man. He doesn't come from a prominent home. And now Caesar wants my taxes. Well, he can take his taxes and, right? Because it was difficult. He could have preached you a sermon of why I shouldn't pay taxes. If the Jews ever, if anybody ever had a right to stand up and say, you're not my king, it would have been Joseph and Mary. It would have been the nation of Israel. God's supposed to be their king. And in the belly of the woman that he's espoused to is the real king. I tell you what, I'm not paying any taxes. I'm not going to make this long journey to pay taxes to that guy. Who are you talking about? But you see, Joseph and Mary are a little bit different than most people. Well, if that's what I'm supposed to do, that's what I'll do.
Amen.
And if that's what God wants me to do, I'll do it.
Amen.
Even if it's really hard to swallow. You know how difficult it would have been to pay taxes to Caesar? It's difficult for me to pay taxes. And not because I'm stingy. Because I don't like for it to go to Planned Parenthood. I don't like for it to go to abortions. I don't like for it to go to the national funding of the arts and all this wickedness. I don't like propping up a system that is against God. But I'm telling you, it was a whole lot harder for him to swallow than it was for me to swallow. And he knew that God had a bigger plan. Because again, I'm just telling you, as bad and awful as that taxation looked, God, the Father, was using an unlawful king and an unlawful wicked taxation system to get them to a place they wouldn't have gone so that Christ would be born where he was supposed to be born. See, God even uses things and people that we don't even agree with and like to work His will. I don't think Joseph would have got up this one morning and said, Mary, let's go to Bethlehem so the baby can be born there. That's not the story. He said, well, Caesar said we had to pay our taxes, so I guess we'll have to go. Well, I can give you a lot of Bible on that tax stuff. You go to Daniel chapter 11. The Antichrist will come after he who was a raiser of taxes. Daniel chapter 11, verse 20. There's a lot of... But you know, God even uses the wrath of man to praise Him. He uses the wickedness of man to work His will. He works in different ways. And Joseph didn't stand up just because it was difficult to pay his taxes or he didn't agree. He said, okay, God, if this is what I'm supposed to do, I want to be a responsible parent. I want to be a responsible husband. And I don't want anything to be awry. I'll go on and make the trip. And he could have had an excuse not to do it. Really hard for him to do that, but he did it anyway. What I'm saying is the difficulty of the length of the journey, the timing of the journey, and the reason for the journey. And then the cost of the journey. It cost him something, not just his taxes, but it cost him. You know how long they were there? Look verse 21. Luke 2:21. And when, how many days? 8 days were accomplished for the circumcised of the child. His name was called Jesus. And then the Bible says, verse 22, they brought him to Jerusalem. So they go from Bethlehem to Jerusalem, but they stay at least 8 days in Bethlehem. You don't ever hear anything much about that. Now, I don't know if there was just no room that one day and they found room later, but do you know how much it costs to make a 100-mile journey on foot or let alone with an animal? And you got food and you got lodging, you got expenses, and I'm just saying, I think that was difficult for Joseph. But Joseph said, well, if it costs me, that's okay. You know, Joseph is such a man in the Bible. It seems whatever the sacrifice, he's willing to make it. If I have to engender to myself the testimony that I took a woman that was with child before marriage, I'll just suffer that shame. Whatever burden, if I have to be back in the background and nobody ever sees me and I never get recognition and it's all my son or who everybody thinks is my son, if he gets all the credit and I'm in the background, if Mary gets all the discussion and I don't get any, if I just have to work a job and pay the bills and bear the cost and bear the burden, whatever the journey is, Lord, if that's your will for my life, I'm willing to pay the cost. Whatever it costs me. However long it is. You don't even find anything about Joseph as Jesus is. Later in his life, everybody speculated, why? Maybe he dropped dead from just paying the cost so much. I'm saying his life was difficult, but yet he wasn't discouraged. He continued on despite the cost. And I'm telling you this morning that God's will does cost you something. But I say with the same breath, sin costs you a whole lot more. Life is filled with costs. But the greatest cost, the most privileged thing to pay, is to pay the pleasure of the Lord and the will of God, no matter how difficult. Lord, I'll pay the cost. It's worth it. Don't you think it was worth it this morning that he paid it? Don't you think it's worth it this morning that he didn't sit home and count his money and say, I ain't going to be able to make this one. I can't. I don't know why. We just go ahead and have the baby here. No, he paid the price. Even if he had to run for his life. What a cost, running for your life while somebody's trying to kill the child. Sure, they wouldn't have been too merciful for mom or for Joseph either. And going down into Egypt. Oh, what an interruption that is to life. And Joseph said, well, if that's what we need to do for God. That's what we need to do for God. Because God knows best. And whatever I've got to pay is nothing in comparison to what He has given me in my life. The difficulty of the cost. You know, there's no record in this text that anybody ever gave anything to them. Zero. We know the innkeeper didn't. He wouldn't even give him a room. No record of anybody giving anything. The shepherds would tell that story. That's great. They come and they offer praise and they want to take a look. no record. They gave a nickel. Okay, all right, it's great to see you. See y'all later. There are no helpers there. There's nobody there to give, you know, even later in the story, when they go into the temple, the priest doesn't give them anything. They give something to the priest. They give something to the temple. They don't receive anything. When Simeon came in, and oh, he's praising God, and what a story that is in this chapter. Simeon doesn't give him a nickel. Anna, the great woman of great age that praises the Lord and rejoices in the Christ, no record she gives them anything. Nobody, I'm saying, nobody gave to them in this story. They're the ones they're giving. They're the ones that are paying the cost. And God sees that. And then later on, by the way, later on, that's when the wise men come in. Oh, the wise men aren't right there. No, no, no. The wise men are in Matthew chapter 2. Here is the babe in Matthew chapter 2. When the wise men finally get on the scene, you know what it is? It's the young child. A little bit later in the story, God looks down and said, boy, look at their giving. Nobody's giving to them. Mom and dad's not giving to them if they're even alive. The relatives aren't there. Nobody cares. They get nothing out of this thing. They're just paying, 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 and getting nothing in return. And God says, all right, let's get some wise men together and send over there and just dump the mother load right on them. But I'm saying until those wise men came, nobody gave them any. There's no record they ever got anything from anybody. And there's no complaint. I'm saying I think that was probably difficult. Oh, church, I think God has given to all of us a whole lot more than we've ever deserved. And whatever it costs me, it's going to be nothing in comparison to the cost that Jesus Christ has already borne for my soul. What can I give Him? What can I pay Him? What can I do for Him? How can I honor Him? What can I give back for all the loving kindness He showed to my soul? It makes the difficulty a lot easier to bear when you keep in perspective the love, mercy, and grace of God that He shed upon your soul. The difficulty of the cost. Lastly, I want to see something else. The Bible says in verse 7, Luke 2:7, the Bible said, and she brought forth her firstborn son. How many of you ladies in here have had a child? Would you raise your hand? Was the first one the easiest one? They're laughing. No, as a matter of fact, the more you have, if you're not careful, the quicker they'll come. Because that first one, it's difficult. Right? That first baby is difficult, ladies. You know that. These guys don't know that. You know that. You know how difficult that is. You know that valley of shadow of death. You walk down there with that first baby. And it's all new, right? Everything's new. You don't know what to expect. There's probably a little fear there, apprehension there. And you're in the hospital. You say, well, they didn't have that anyway. They didn't have hospitals. You know what they did have? They did have midwives. But Mary didn't have a midwife. In her most difficult pregnancy, by the way, this destroys that idea of the perpetual virginity of Mary, which is such a mixed up, unbiblical doctrine. Jesus was her firstborn child. That was her first. She had others. But that first one was difficult. And there was nobody there to help her. Her mother or her mother-in-law, weren't there. She had no friends there. She had Joseph. And the Holy Ghost. You think that might have been difficult? I think that was probably difficult. And yet she pressed on through that difficulty in spite of the apprehension, in spite of the fear, in spite of the inexperience. This is a new, a scary thing. But if this is how God wants me to go, I'm going through this. The difficulty of the delivery, the difficulty of the fact where the baby was laid, there was no room for him. She didn't have any comforts that were normal in life. No room in the inn. She wraps this babe, the Bible says, in swaddling clothes. That's like they wrapped up those mummies or those people when they died. They wrapped them up in those grave clothes, which shows again the difficulty of the beginning of this journey is going to match the difficulty of the ending of this journey. This Christ child is born to die. He's going to be wrapped in clothes at his birth. He's going to be wrapped in grave clothes at his death. He's born to die. He's born to give a sacrifice. The difficulty of that. But yet when it speaks to my heart in the difficulty of putting that child in a manger, who wants to put their baby? I mean, you know, are we not so germ phobia today? You know, I mean, where's the sanitary stuff, you know? Well, it went over really well. But... you know, some of the people who have the best immune systems are the people that lived in unsanitary places. Now maybe I say it just because I'm a missionary, I can't help saying it, but that's just the truth. I mean, Americans, they go over to an unsanitary place and they get sick immediately. And those other people drinking the dirty water, living in a dirty society, you know why their immune system's built up? Well, that's free. I mean, it's a Christmas present for you. I mean, you know, sanitation and pour it down, put it on my face, take a bath in the alcohol sanitation stuff so I don't get a germ. Can you imagine taking your first baby and putting it in a manger, a place where animals eat? You talk about a dirty place. That probably was a little difficult. You know, you get that beautiful baby, especially the first one. Oh, how beautiful. Looks like an angel from heaven. Well, the thing is, this one was from heaven. And oh, don't you know they wanted to make everything so perfect for it? And yet putting it in that dirty manger. That manger speaks to humanity just like the cross does. Christ Jesus started with a manger. He ended at a cross. Both places are places of humility. Both places are places of sacrifice. Both places can be places that are really despised. And from birth to death, that's Jesus bearing that difficulty. And he says, Father, your will be done. You know, I think that manger... You know, if Christ would have come as a great, ominous king sitting on a throne, you know, lowly sinners probably wouldn't have felt so comfortable to approach him. I mean, if he's in some big palace, some little sinners out there, the off-scouring of the world, probably would be a little intimidated to walk up the golden steps, you know, to this King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the Savior of the world, and ask for redemption and forgiveness. You see, the manger and the cross doesn't speak to man like that. The manger and the cross is the lowliest place of the lowly. So it doesn't matter what position some sinner finds himself in. He can feel at home in approaching a manger. He can feel at home approaching. I mean, even, hey man, even the beasts come to the manger. Even the beasts come and feed at the manger. Oh, there's more here, brethren. The Bible tells us in 2 Peter, you know what we are as sinners without God? We are natural brute beasts. But thank God we can approach to the manger and find food for the soul and provision for our lives and something for all eternity. And yet man says, oh, I got to get my life all cleaned up. No, no. Jesus Christ was laid in the dirty place. And thank God that Christ Jesus is willing to be laid in dirty hearts and dirty lives. If we'll just come to Him in repentance and faith and acknowledge our guilt and our need, He says, oh, I can be laid in the manger. I can be laid low enough for all the animals, all the dogs, all the dirty cows. Whatever you need, I'm gladly willing to enter in. Though it's difficult. Though it's difficult. So this Christmas, maybe I need to stop and say, Lord, my life is so easy. And you've made it so blessed. But God, if Christ Jesus can shine forth from my life and be brought forth to a world, make me willing to go through the difficulties. And maybe you're here this morning and the heart of your life is as dirty as that manger. Christ still wants to lay Himself within you and abide with you forever if you'll just come to Him. If you'll just want Him. What a Christmas story. It's difficult. But it's available. Let's bow our heads in prayer this morning. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed today.